From the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
We've all been there on a lesser scale. You look at Shedeur Sanders and him falling from a top 10 prospect, maybe a top 3 prospect, all the way to the 5th round. We've all been there. You didn't get the job that you felt you interviewed well for. You didn't get the promotion. You were passed over. And sometimes it's because there is some type of negative Swift Poet campaign against you. Somebody disliked you. Sometimes it's racism, sexism, all of the isms. But sometimes it's because you came into the interview and acted and conducted yourself like a complete asshat. Both can be true. You're listening to the Lanch J Radio Network, featuring sports talk and entertainment excellence, a part of the HR Voices Sirius XM Channel 141 platform. I'm your host, James Lewis. It is always a pleasure to be with you broadcasting coast to coast globally and, of course, on Lanch J Plus. I think the coverage, particularly the media coverage, except for Mel Kiper, for some reason, Mel Kiper, I don't know if he's friends with Deion Sanders. I don't know if it's just his ego, because he stated that Shedeur was the number one quarterback in the draft. But Mel Kiper kind of threw a fit, a hissy fit. He had a conniption. I was like, bro, you need to get your blood pressure checked. Like, he looked like he was 200 over 125 over Shedeur's fall. And I felt that other than Mel Kiper, for the most part, the media coverage was not great. I felt that Shedeur got the Colin Kaepernick treatment. I feel like there was some level of collusion. Do I think that there was an email that went out from all of the owners where there was actual provable collusion? No. But do I think that they sent a message to Shedeur saying that the shield is bigger than you, it's bigger than your father? The stuff that you did at Colorado, the watch flexing, the NIL, Shedeur kind of embodies the new athlete coming into the NFL that's already worth 5 to 10 M's. I know that Marvin Harrison Jr. got some bad press because he wouldn't do some of the interviews and he wouldn't do the combine, and Shedeur didn't do the combine. He didn't throw at the combine. He didn't run at the combine. He didn't lift weights at the combine. So you didn't have the measurables on him. And the NFL sent a message. They sent a message saying that you need us more than we need you. And they were absolutely 100% unequivocally correct in sending that message. Now, the motive behind it, not a big fan of. Definitely a Swift Boat attack carried out by the media. An assassination of character, in my opinion, Shedeur Sanders. I had him on my draft board late first round, early second round. When he didn't go the first day, I wasn't really pressed. I thought that the Browns were going to take him with the first pick in the second round at 33. So I wasn't really pressed. I don't look at Shedeur Sanders as a generational talent. He's not Cam Newton. He's not Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. So I know that there's the comparison made for Archie Manning and how he tried to juxtapose and handle his children. And Eli would not go to San Diego, the San Diego Chargers at the time. That's not a comparison. Shedeur Sanders is not Eli Manning coming out of college. He doesn't have the size. He doesn't have the arm strength. He doesn't have the pedigree for a quarterback. If Shedeur Sanders was lining up on the outside, a shutdown, lockdown corner, they'd be a little bit different. I don't think that his father did him any favors in the process, trying to control everything. And look, I support African-American sports fathers. I'm a big LaVar Ball supporter, hoping that him and his health, I know he's experienced some health challenges, but I'm a huge LaVar Ball supporter. I'm a huge Richard Williams supporter. I love what LeBron James has done with Bronny. Because you see Caucasian men in power in business setting up their sons to have success. So the President of the United States has set his sons up and his son-in-laws up to have success. And I don't have a problem with it. People in power, you can use that power, you can use those plugs, you can use those connections to get your children opportunities to do great things in their lives. That's the whole point of having power, having money, having prestige. We get into this conversation about Black fathers being absentee fathers, which studies have shown is an incorrect assessment. But when a Black father is absent, the media will rip the community for having absent Black fathers. So kids are running around, running amok. It's like Lord of the Flies and his mother bleeper. So you see 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids on the south side of Chicago committing crimes, drive-by shootings, being involved in vice lords, gangster disciples, all of that stuff. Where are the fathers? But when LeVar Ball steps up, when Deion Sanders steps up, when LeBron James steps up and says, these are my seeds, I'm going to make sure that they're good, there's a problem with that too. So I see both sides of the coin, and I'm always going to err in favor of the Black father of an athlete trying to control the situation, because these people will exploit your kids. If you think the NFL cares, we've seen how they hit concussions. The NFL doesn't care about your kids. This is a financial transaction. This is business. This isn't personal. Deion in Colorado is business. Those sunglasses, that's business. The hoodies he's selling, business. The Air Diamond Turf shoe, which I'm definitely going to cop the LeBron James Diamond Turf hybrids. It is all business. Get out of your feelings. It's not personal. So whatever your thoughts, I know that, be careful with my words, but I know the cohort of Americans that don't like to see individuals such as Deion Sanders and his children succeed. Can I say that? I don't want to use the R word, because everybody that doesn't like Deion Sanders isn't a racist. But there are a lot of racists that don't like Deion Sanders. I see celebrating on various websites, which I will not mention in this segment because I don't want to get sued or get those type of problems. But I think you know what websites and what news outlets we're talking about. And words like humility and recalcitrant and in the comment section, you shouldn't be trying to spell recalcitrant if you can't spell. Some of the words that I see described, I can't even say on the radio. You're getting back into slurs where you're using asterisks and ampersands to not say the full word. It's a lot of hate and a lot of vitriol. People are happy to see Shadur fall. And there's institutionalized racism in the United States of America. Anyone that tells you otherwise, I don't care if it's Candace Owens, I don't care who it is, anyone that tells you that there's no such thing as institutionalized racism in the United States of America is lying to you. Now, we're in a better position than we were 150 years ago, or even 50 years ago. But that's part of the DNA. That's part of the story. Don't let people rewrite history. So there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of hatred. I've learned this in my own personal life and my career. Worst thing you could do is be a militant Black man, the Nat Turner, standing tall in the face of individuals that want to chop you down because they think that you're lesser because your skin happens to be brown or a really dark shade of brown. And so we don't like the Deons. We don't like the LeVar Balls. We don't like the Richard Williamses because they don't play by the rules. They don't let somebody else exploit their kids. They want to manage the situation. They want to bask in the success, and they want operational control, which we all want over our lives and children. But like I said, I don't think dad in this case did some favors. The truth of the matter is Deion Sanders overplayed his hand. You're not in a position to tell people that you're not going to come to a specific city. You're not in that position. Shadur is not that good. Now on tape, Shadur is very accurate. And I think accuracy is the most important thing with a quarterback. It's not the arm strength. It's not being 6'3", 230 pounds. Everybody's not. There are only two or three Josh Allens in the world. Guys like that. Cam Newtons, Josh Allen. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got guys that just have a skill set that you're not going to find. Cam Newton being a very highly touted Heisman winner. Josh Allen with all of the physical tools of Cam Newton. But he went to Wyoming. you know, guys like Carson Wentz, just that jump off the page physically. You don't have a lot of guys like that. I think most of the guys, you got more Dak Prescott's. You got more Brock Purdy's. Guys that are drafted later. Russell Wilson wasn't drafted extraordinarily high. Aaron Rodgers slid because of thoughts about his arm strength and his size. So you have some people that physically jump off the page. Shador wasn't one of those people. And I don't know if Cam Ward was. I didn't have a top 10 grade on Cam Ward either. But I've been saying this about Shador and the Sanders camp for quite some time. The Sanders camp, they've been treating Shador. They've been treating the process. They're acting like it's Deion. Deion's one of the best 11 defenders ever to play. Deion's arguably on the defensive Mount Rushmore for football, period. And you're probably on there with, I don't know, you're Deacon Jones, Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor. Shador's not that guy. Deion knew coming out of Florida State that he was going to be that guy. He had the ability to write the song Must Be the Money and wear all the jewelry and all of that stuff and all the flash, all the bravado coming from Florida, running a 4.2 at the combine. Deion had all of those things in his back pocket. His son doesn't have that. His son's not an all-time great. His son wasn't projected to be elite. And I think the other piece of it, I do think that there was some racial swift voting, especially from the media. But the truth of the matter is the perception of Shador wasn't as high as daddy thought it was. People viewed him as a potential backup. So in the interview process, he's coming in interviews. He's talking about, I'm going to come in here and change your culture. And the GMs were like, we want you to be the backup. We don't want a superstar backup. We've seen that with Tim Tebow. We saw it when Cam was a backup. People don't want the backup quarterback to make noise. The starting quarterback is one of the most visible people in whatever city he plays in. But I think that they overplayed their hand. And that's part of the story, too. Like I started the segment, everything's not completely about racism. I think that racism plays a part. There are quite a few racial slurs online about the Sanders family, but some of this is don't go in an interview and be a jackass. Don't be arrogant. Be willing to run and throw at the combine. Be willing to break down film. Understand who you're talking to. Understand the room. Understand that this is the most important job interview of your entire life and be prepared. And that is a part that I can't excuse. That part is not racism. That part is not a swift vote campaign. That part is not people being jealous because the Sanders family has money and this kid's already driving a Bentley. That's a you problem. And now here we are. I think at the end of the day, Shiloh drafted late. He's in the quarterback room with Dylan Gabriel, Joe Flacco, who's 100 years old. And I can't remember the other guy, Kenny Pickett. I think he can beat out those three guys over the course of time. I think that if he puts his head down and goes to work, I think that Shador Sanders could be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns by his second season, if not late in his first season. And he'll just have to go to work. Paragon 7 Studios.
You're listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Hip-hop has been a reflection of culture and society.
That includes stories of struggle
and pain,
social injustice,
racial inequality,
the marginalization of communities.
Today,
we confront a healthcare system
that has been rigged against all of us.
Hospitals force patients to sign contracts for services
without ever showing us actual prices.
Stifling competition,
overcharging without accountability.
And if we can't pay, these same contracts
allow them to take everything we own,
creating so much fear that millions and millions of Americans refuse to enter a hospital,
putting our health and our lives at stake.
This is an American humanitarian crisis.
We love our nurses
and we need our doctors,
but hospitals and insurers
rigging a system to make profits off of people that's in struggle is unforgivable.
We demand prices
and transparency in healthcare.
How? To the patients.
Ewers in a shotgun. 2x2 wide receivers. Wisner in the backfield with him. Ewers set to toss. Ewers being chased. Hit by Jack Sawyer. Knocked the ball out. Sawyer's picked it up and he's running down the right side. Jack Sawyer hits the 50-yard line to the Texas 40. Sawyer to the 30, to the 20 of Texas. Jack Sawyer is going to take it into the end zone. His second fumble recovery of the season. Jack Sawyer, Ohio State defensive end. He finally got to Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers. And Jack Sawyer races it into the end zone to give Ohio State a 27-14 lead over Texas.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Anyone can struggle with mental health. Your daughter. Your neighbor across the street. Your boss. Maybe even you. We want you to know there's hope. Because there's 988. 988 is more than a number. It's a lifeline to call or text when you need help and don't know where to turn.
Hello, you've reached the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.
Call or text 988 day or night to get the help you deserve.